This year on the podcast, we're reviewing a major film franchise 1 month at a time. A franchise that, after the first movie, said, let's just carry one character forward to the sequel, and then followed that with, and for the third one, no characters, all new people.
So this week, join us as we cover one of the most interesting entries in this franchise, The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
How Star Wars!
I was almost at ooh-ah again. Well, hello there, Mike.
Hi, Josiah. And, well, hi, listeners.
And hello to the listeners. And we love you guys so much. I'm just going to start out with the love today. You know, I'm putting love out there. I'm sending it out. I'm going to receive it back.
And we'll also say we are sorry because we're talking about the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
You know, I was just on the way. Okay, yeah. The listeners, we're talking about the Fast and Furious movies all year long at the end of the month. Last year we did Batman. This year we're doing Fast and Furious. Yeah. Previous years we've done Mission Impossible and, you know, other things. Well, I don't know if we did one a month for Mission Impossible, but we do this. We like to like have themed end of the month.
We,
you know,
did that's what we like do, to do one a month, but there were only six at the time. So
Right. And we covered all the... Matrix movies. We've done a lot of franchises.
But meanwhile, we also haven't done Mission Impossible 7.
Right. We haven't done Mission Impossible 7 because I haven't seen it yet. Somebody hasn't watched it. Someone keeps forgetting that it exists. And that's me. But we're talking about Tokyo Drift this week, which is a really weird movie.
It really is weird. What do we do on the show? I can't remember.
Yeah, sorry. We rate review things on a scale of 1 to 10. Not if I go to fast. Not a good fast they are.
We're not talking about how good they are. We're not talking about how fast they are.
No, we're not talking about how fast they are. Not if how good or bad they are, but if how Star Wars they are, which is important and groundbreaking work. Mm-hmm. And so we take everything that's Star Wars, we put it all into a chili. Uh-huh. We mix that chili up. We set it to simmer. That is a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we compare things to.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Okay, everyone?
Yep.
Do you understand now?
I do now. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm getting it now. I'm not. I'm no more love. Just aggression now.
From me.
I'm aggressive. No, or, from me. Oh, I'm being aggressive now.
Do you understand now?
Do you understand?
You little babies.
You little bing bong babies.
This week we're talking about Tokyo Drift.
That's why I recognize that guy.
The third
entry
in the Fast and the Furious franchise from what? 2006.
2006. The year that I don't know if anything happened in 2006. You know?
I was wondering that myself.
Did anything happen?
I'm going to Google, did anything happen in 2006?
Because it wasn't the recession yet. That was 2008.
What the fuck? First of all, Google, after I typed, did anything happen in 2006, says, showing results for did anything happened in 2006.
Well, that's not right.
Search instead for did anything happen in 2006? I typed it that way.
Search for the thing I typed, Google. Thank you very much.
Let's see. What happened in 2006? The Wikipedia article for 2006.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. It includes... Oh, it was designated the International Year of Deserts and Desertification.
What?
Or desertification?
That's when you turn something into a dessert.
So that is particularly damning.
Yeah.
To the
That's
question
rough.
Of did anything happen?
Yeah.
Some world events, some violence.
Yeah. I mean,
the Winter
Iron
Olympics.
Man. Iron Man hadn't come out yet, so like there was no MCU.
Hmm. Oh, microblogging and social networking service website Twitter was launched.
Okay. Hey, so that also had to deal with the desertification of culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little did they know. Little did they know.
So I hate to just kind of gloss over all the like conflict and war, but that's just like kind of a given, right?
That's always happening. So like, I'm asking if anything important happened.
Oh, hey, Google purchased YouTube.
Really? That early on? Wow, yeah. It feels like that happened much more recently.
Oh,
than that.
Sony released the PlayStation 3.
Now we're talking.
God.
Nothing else, huh?
It's just
nothing
all
else?
Like fucking violence.
It's all violence. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's most of the history of the world.
Oh, you want to hear the list of new English words and terms?
Yes.
Bucket list.
Right.
So more
a,
than likely,
is,
the movie The Bucket List came out in 2006.
This is something that is going around the zeitgeist right now. Did you know about this?
That it came from that movie?
Yeah, that it was made up for that movie.
I did know that because no one had ever said it before.
No one had ever said it before. Like, but they said it's like they made the movie with such confidence that they were like, here's your bucket list. The things you want to do before you die.
But like it said like in the trailer, like everyone was like, what? And they explain it like in the trailer. I've never even seen the movie, but in the trailer it was like, it's everything you want to do before, and then they all at the same time are like, you kick the bucket. And I was like, oh, okay. You seem to be inventing that. You know, like, I, as a 17-year-old, 15-year-old, excuse me, was, like, not... I was never under any, like, understanding that word didn't come from that movie.
That's funny, because a lot of people have been, like, very, surprised recently on the internet that bucket list came from the movie. And I wish I could remember some of the other quotes, because there's a lot of, like... quotes like that were made up by pop culture that seem like they're older than that. Sure, Gaslight. That came from the movie Gaslight,
which I think was also a play, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. But like, there's a lot of
terms. All
that
Seinfeld shit, like...
Yeah, truly. Well, the one that, like, a huge offender, or like offender, but a huge example is The Simpsons. The Simpsons, like, invent, like, new terms
they
all
said,
the time.
You said the quiet part out loud.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Yes, that came from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Which that doesn't seem like it's that old, but it's weird. That seems to me like a Gen Z invention.
Right.
And it's weird that it came from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the other ones. Crowdfunding and crowdsourcing.
Okay, so...
Hypermiling. That was when you, like, hacked your car to, like, get better gas mileage.
I remember a Reader's Digest article about that.
Sizzle reel.
Okay.
Mumblecore. I skipped some of the boring ones.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway, we're not talking about 2006, although...
Hey, should we cover the year 2006? I was 14.
Hot on the heels of the episode titled Nothing, they do an episode called 2006.
And I was a freshman in high school, and let me tell you, banner year for me.
Yeah.
Banner year, freshman year. I won freshman class favorite.
Favorite? Like favorite person?
Yes, we had a competition. Like it was like homecoming king and queen.
Uh-huh.
But each class had class favorite and there was a boy and a girl for each.
That
and you,
like fucking sucks.
Isn't that so fucked up, dude? Yes. Like five people got nominated for guys and girls. And then everyone voted on who your favorite person in the class is, and there's a winner.
That sounds like a 30 Rock joke or something.
That sounds like something they did in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
To be like, you're the class favorite. You're going to be chosen to go fight for us.
Yeah.
Truly weird. Weird thing.
Homecoming King or whatever is like similar to that, but it's under some like pageantry.
Tradition and pageantry, yeah.
Like, class favorite...
Class favorite is weird, and I don't know if it's
best
guy in the class. I don't know if it's based on anything or if it was just something my school did or if other schools do it too. Hey, do I have an email prompt for you today, listeners?
If you're a millennial.
If you're a millennial. Or Gen Z.
Has anyone, we'll get to that in the email segment, but has anyone talked about the legendary bird Pokemon?
Yes, we got one response
from my
new favorite listener that we'll talk about in the email section of the
Enough
end.
Fucking around. We're talking about
about Tokyo Drift. How have we not talked about it yet?
It's because it's not very good or interesting.
It's not very good or interesting. Although apparently, according to the Wikipedia, in recent years... it has become a cult classic.
I don't know that film. I really get that.
I don't think that's true.
Compared to even like Too Fast, Too Furious, where we very clearly said it's not as good as the first one, but like it's kind of doing the same thing, and it's introducing mm-hmm. some new fun people. Like, I'd watch that movie again. I don't think I'd mm-hmm. watch this movie again.
No. I mean, there's not a lot of reason to. It's, so, like, okay, what we said about the second one, right, about Too Fast, Too Furious, it was funny that they watched, that the makers of Fast and Furious watched the first movie and said, you know who the secret sauce is?
Yeah.
It's fucking Brian yeah. O'Connor.
Which, at least kind of makes sense because he was the protagonist.
He's the main guy, right? But they didn't see the magic was really Vin Diesel all right. along, which that's sort of our, like, thesis statement of these movies is that, like, it's all about Vin Diesel, right? Paul Walker is good at what he does, and he's like kind of like decent in these like movies. Like he's very proficient in this character.
Yeah, he's good at what he's being asked to do.
But like Vin Diesel's the secret sauce, right? And it's funny then for the third one, they like you said in the cold open, they were like, "What if we just try something entirely different yeah. and new?" So weird, such
you
a
know,
weird,
it's
weird
kind
choice.
Kind of like what Halloween did.
Yeah,
Halloween
you're right.
3 was just like, oh, I always thought that this Halloween series would just be like an anthology of like spooky
yes.
shit. And this time
yes.
around, it's going to be a weird thing where masks turn your head into bugs.
Yes. One of the classic films that Mike loves to talk about, Halloween 3. Yeah, I was thinking of that while watching it. I was like, this movie makes it seem like they're turning the Fast and the Furious franchise into an anthology series
yeah.
where they would be like, okay, now we're gonna do it in Rio and now we're gonna do it in like, I don't know, fucking like Italy or whatever,
right?
Like taking the franchise to various locales and being like, what does racing look like in this area?
Yeah.
And so that's what it seems like they're gonna do with this movie, but then it very quickly like course corrects in the next like movies to be like, no, it's about the main guys from the first movie again.
Yeah. Which I don't know that yet. Obviously I do, but like I haven't seen any of those yet. So like if I'm seeing one of these movies every 2 or 3 years and I see this without any yeah. knowledge that they're going to like do more in the future, I'd be like at the very, very end, I'd be like, oh, hey, Vin Diesel.
He's back.
But like I suppose you'd have the benefit in 2005, 2006 of like marketing, you know, like you'd have all yeah. the like previews on TV when you're watching TV the old fashioned way. You probably see it a lot. You're like, oh, it's about this guy and his friend Lil Bow Wow go to Tokyo or whatever. Like, I guess yeah. it's different guys. Like, you wouldn't be totally stunned when you got there. Like, none of the people are the same. But
yeah.
you might be when you first see the preview.
Yeah. Also, okay, not to get like too into it right now, but we have to talk about this.
My first note.
Well, let's save that for a second.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about the meta narrative around this movie right now for
yes,
a second,
okay.
And then we can get into the actual narrative. Because did you know that this movie takes place in the future?
I have heard that there's some kind of like retroactive prequeling or sequeling of something.
I think I might have mentioned it on a previous episode. So here's what happened, right? Let me just read this for a second. Yes. So within the stories, this on the wiki, within the story's continuity, Tokyo Drift is set after the events of Fast and Furious 6 and before the events of Furious 7. Can you believe that? I don't know. So literally, it says here as well.
But
it was
they all have like shitty cell phones.
I know,
like
I
flip
know.
Phones that take
flip
like
phones with video,
40p video
that can somehow stream live.
Yeah.
But then, so yeah, this Tokyo Drift was followed by a prequel trilogy. The first being Fast and Furious in 2009, Fast and Furious 6 in 2013, and then Furious 7 in 2015. All take place between the events of Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Which, like, fine, I guess, because guess what has no bearing on the plot
yeah.
of the main series? Tokyo Drift.
Right.
You could say that it appears in any
like, it's like
area,
how they say...
Anywhere.
And, I mean, not they say, this is just true, but Temple of Doom takes place before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right,
and
earlier
it's not,
in his career.
They people are like, well, it's actually a prequel. It's like... In that it happened before the movie we've already seen, but it's not a prequel in the sense that it, like, you know...
Has anything to do with the other movie.
Yeah, it's just another entry.
Right, it is, like, it is just about Indiana Jones again.
Yeah, like, I think,
you know?
I think like, the word prequel sort of, like...
I think it was the Star Wars prequels that gave it popularity.
I'm sure it probably is, but I feel like the term asks of you, the person hearing it, to understand that, like, it is providing new information to the story you thought you knew or whatever. Whereas Temple of Doom is just like, it's another Indiana Jones movie.
Another story. And this Fast and Tokyo Drift is just another story. It's like, it's within the Fast and Furious universe,
yeah,
in which cars are super important,
mm-hmm,
and like everyone knows how to fix a car and hotwire a car and race a car.
Yeah.
It's the Scream movies with scary, with but for cars. But now we can get into the actual, I just wanted to like let everyone know that there is a weird meta narrative around this.
So
no, wait, I'm not even done with that yet. Because guess what? This is the other thing I showed you. There is a, well, I guess we can get this when we get into characters, because one of the characters has a prequel movie where he, that Justin Lin, right? That's the director Justin Lin made before this, starring one of the characters from this movie.
Yes, and it's like not a Fast and Furious movie.
It's not a Fast and Furious movie, but it has been retroactively fit in as saying this is the character's origin story.
That is bananagrams.
So there is another movie that branches off of Tokyo Drift that has nothing to do with Fast and the Furious, but is just an origin story for Han's character.
That is so crazy.
It's so strange.
And so right off the bat, here we are 25 minutes in.
Yeah, right off the bat.
There is a character named Han.
Yeah.
So that is points for it being Star Wars.
And also, he's very cool.
He's very aloof. Cool.
He's kind of a... And he's like sort of a smuggler, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
true. He's like doing crimes.
Yeah.
So that's very Star Wars.
Before we even touch that, and he's stealing from the big boss, like Jabba.
Yeah. Like Jabba.
Anyway,
yeah.
My very first note as I started watching this movie for the first time this past weekend was, is this movie about a grown up in high school?
Because
which, like, I texted you that because you texted me as you were starting it saying, like, no way this guy's a high schooler.
Yes! Charlie and I were watching it and we were like, okay, is there a world in which this movie takes place in high school? And because, like, the whole first part of it is like a football pep rally or game kind of like day or whatever.
Yeah. Which, that was my second note. I was like, yikes on all the pep rally shit. It's all like kill the Indians.
Yes, there
because,
was like a...
Because that's the team name of who they're fighting or whatever.
They're like hitting a pinata or something.
Christ.
Like, really rough. Bad imagery. But then, so this guy, Lucas Black, was born in 19... He's the actor, right? Mm-hmm. He plays Sean.
Sean.
And then he was born in 1982.
Yeah, so he would have been what, 24?
He was 20 in 2003 when this movie came out in 2006. So yeah, he would have been 24. So he's not that much older, but he looks old.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
In fact,
that's on the younger side of the actors in Grease.
Yes, it is. Which somehow, and the actors in Grease don't look like they're in high school, but there's a weird like suspension of disbelief in that movie when you're watching it. But somehow he looks like a 35-year-old man.
He looks so
old,
Yeah. He
looks, it's like fucking Ben Platt playing Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be, and then later on in the movie they say, careful girls, he's underage. So he's not even supposed to be 18.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, is he just 17? Because I was already straining my credulity with 18. That was hard for me to swallow.
While we're on the, you know who was like, 15 in 2006?
Lil Bow Wow?
Me.
Oh, really?
I didn't go to school at the same time that that guy did.
No, you did not.
But, speaking of the underage of it all, there is a high school girl who's, like, married to a mobster.
Yes. It's
I
so
don't
gross
get it.
Very early on, there's weird choices they made in this movie. Very early on in the movie, you find about DK, who's like he's Yakuza, which is like Japanese mafia and or gangsters, you know, for the uninitiated.
And it doesn't stand for Donkey Kong. It stands for Drift King.
It stands for Drift King.
Drift.
And Drift. And it's funny because, or it's not funny, it's gross. And the first like time he's introduced to him, one of his friends is like, you always love the schoolgirls. And it's like, ew, how old is he?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be like 21? Or is he supposed to be like 30?
Right.
Because either way, it's kind of, I mean,
they're like,
is he Scott
cake
Pilgrim
eating
or
it
is
too.
He way worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're telling us Sean is 17 or whatever, but they're showing us that he's 25. And they're doing the same with her, whatever her name is. They're telling us she's a schoolgirl, and they're showing us a, like, you know,
a 25-year-old
Maxim
woman.
Model. Yeah.
Yeah. What's her name? Neela. Yeah. Who, you know, very, yes, beautiful woman, like a grown woman.
Right.
But she is being, like, portrayed as, like, she is a young, like, schoolgirl. But it's just, like, this weird grossness in this movie where it's like, why did we make them high schoolers?
Yeah, it's a very strange choice. Like, that didn't need to happen.
No, there's no reason that this movie needs to take place with high schoolers. It could very, very easily. The only reason I can think of is they're like, well, why would this guy be shipped away to Japan?
Why would Vin Diesel have been there?
I know. Like, that's at the very end. It's like, well, how did he get there with his car?
Like, it's like the logic of trying to argue why a movie is the way it is.
Yes.
Based on how it, you know, like,
just write it differently.
Well, you could have written something different. Why would he have been sent overseas? You raise a good point. He didn't have to get sent overseas. He could have just gone on his own volition.
Yeah. It could have been literally, guess what? Any reason. Because it's fake. It's made up. You can do anything you want. You're the writer of the movie. It didn't have to be high school. It could have been anything. Literally, you could have had him be like, oh, I'm a street racer in America, and I got in a little trouble, and I have to, I don't know, escape from the law.
Yeah.
Like, he's already running from the law and running from, like responsibility because he's a, you know, a bad kid that has to go live with, who I thought, I didn't clock at first that the guy he lives with is his dad.
Yeah, right.
For some reason, I was like, who is this guy? His uncle? Like, what's happening?
It wasn't made clear for a second.
It wasn't made clear to me until he calls him dad on the phone, and I was like, oh, it's his dad.
Oh, also, before he gets shipped off, he's in a big racing...
with the kid from Home Improvement.
Oh, yes.
That's when he
looks
familiar.
Also is too old.
Too old, yeah.
They race through, like, a neighborhood that's being built, so, like, it's abandoned or whatever. Or, you know, no one's there, rather. And the girlfriend of the big asshole guy is, like, winner gets me.
Yes!
I was like, okay, when we watched Fast and Furious, the first one, mm-hmm. we were like, yeah, this movie's rough from the sort of misogyny of it all standpoint. And then in 2003, Too Fast, Too Furious, we're like, yep, they still haven't, like...
they haven't, like, quite figured this out yet.
...caught up to where we are now. And as I was starting this one, I was like, 2006, like, we're going to be closer, right? And, like, the first thing that happens is a high school girl is like, the winner of a race gets me?
Yeah, it gets me, which is like, huh?
Like,
what is that? What does that entail? Honey, what does that entail? Really gross, really weird. Yeah, literally right out the gate, they're like, and then they're having, like, a high school girl take off her bra to like drop it to say go for the race.
Yes, it sucks. So,
like, the misogyny is real in this one,
and the, like, they underage-iness. Like,
yes, once again, why did it have to be high school?
Yes,
why did it have to be high school? It reminds me of the episode we did with Sydney about. What's that movie called?
Repo,
the giant opera. When she's like 17, and it's like, why'd she have to be 17? Just make her an adult.
Yes.
She can still be a teen. If you want her to be, listen, everyone, hey, okay, writers, guess what? Do I have a new writing hack for you? If you really, really want your character to be a teenager, and you feel like they have to be a teenager for the story, I have this magical age for you called 19, where it's not as creepy. They're a legal adult in America.
Yeah.
And it won't be as weird when they interact with other adults.
Right.
So go ahead and make them 19.
It is still creepy, but you go, as opposed
to, like, it's still,
you go,
it's like when the 19-year-old is dating a 25-year-old, you're like, well, that's not wise.
Right. When the 19-year-old's dating a 40-year-old, you still go, like, but
you're like, well, they're not going to go to jail. So that's good, I guess. Oh, geez. This movie is strange. Strange choices all around.
And, like, Bow Wow's first line is something about don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Like, and also later on, he's like, this is when you blow your wand.
Yeah.
And they also call him Twink the whole time,
oh my God,
which is hilarious.
That is so funny.
It's really funny.
His name is
Twinkie.
Twinkie, which I'm sure itself is a nickname. I wasn't even paying attention close enough.
I don't think we're ever told his real name.
No.
Wikipedia doesn't have his
real
name.
But then as, like, an endearing nickname, a shortening, like Chewy, they call him Twink.
Which is fucking hilarious.
It's so funny.
Because it tells me mainly one thing. There was no one gay on set who was like, we probably should, guys, hey,
well,
maybe don't
I also
call
didn't
him twink.
Notice if it was on the list of words that came about in 2006.
You're right. This could be a new phrase. Who knows? We never know. When did it first come up on
just
Google Trends?
Just Google twink real quick.
Yeah, I'll just Google twink real quick. Hold on. Let me just Google twink real quick. Oh, no. My computer. Hold on. Let's check it out.
Origins in the 70s.
Okay, so yeah, they had no excuse.
Which feels about right with this franchise. It's like so grossly straight.
Yeah. Okay, let's see how far back I can go on Google Trends. 2004 to present. Yeah, I mean, let's get it. Where's 2006? Okay, 2006. It's still being searched, so it is definitely still around. Do you want to know what the peak of the interest was?
Was it more recent?
It's more recent. Not too more recent, but it is more recent.
Like 2009?
2014. Huh. August? Let's see. What was happening in August 2014 and August 2015, where that's 100% of this, like, the 100 of Google Trends
Welcome
was
to How Star Wars Is It? We Google things that happened in years.
Didn't we do this for MILF one time? Which was also like, careful when you're Googling MILF.
Well, yeah, came from a movie.
Yes. American Pie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so twink was established as a term before this movie. So it's just the fact.
Yeah, it's just ignorance.
Ignorance, which is really funny.
He drives
what
a Hulk car with fists.
With fists punching out of the car.
Yeah.
At first when I saw it, I was like, oh, his car's messed up. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's supposed to look like that.
Yeah.
And they're reading like Hulk comics later. There's all this like Hulk stuff that pops up randomly.
It's kinda weird. It's a really weird movie.
It's really weird. But so,
oh,
okay.
And then at one point Han says to Sean, like, there's no wax on, wax off when you're learning to drift, or something like that, a reference to Karate Kid. But then they do like a fucking wax on, wax off montage of him learning to drift.
they do a training montage. Yeah. They do a training montage, yeah. It was funny too, because Charlie was like, so Charlie's made the goal to watch all of these with me, much to her. I don't know if she's enjoying it so far or not. But, you know, she was like, is this really going to have like the one white guy come in and be the best at the thing that the Japanese people invented?
Yeah.
Like, is this really what we're going to do? And she's like, and is there really not going to be a single Japanese character that's like a good guy?
Right.
And I was like, well, Han is like a protagonist,
but
he's like,
but he is Korean.
Oh, really?
And
oh, right. Because he says,
say, like,
I ran to hear from, like, this is my Mexico.
Yeah,
right.
That actor is Korean.
Okay, I didn't clock his. I didn't look up his ethnicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That he's the Korean guy in Japan, who like when what like he says like I fled here. This is my Mexico. Like, I'm the cowboy that fled across the border or whatever. Yeah.
So, truly, the only Japanese characters are like the fucking mafia.
Yeah, it's like Yakuza. Even the girl isn't Japanese.
Right.
Like, they couldn't have him go to Japan and fall in love with a Japanese girl.
I know.
She had to be, I looked up her background, Peruvian, Argentinian, Australian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, which is why her accent is like the weirdest accent in the world, because it's like, are you Australian
like
or what's happening here?
Gettable, yeah.
It's
did you know Rebecca Ferguson is Swedish and not English?
Huh?
Yeah. Jessica herself.
No, I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So if she talked, it would sound like the Swedish chef in her real accent?
That's right. I watched her on Colbert and it was just like,
and she had like hands that were moving around.
Yeah,
like,
she had
big
human
hands,
but she was felt. Yeah.
She had human hands. It
she
was
had
really
human
off-putting.
Hands.
Yeah, her hands, every other part of her was felt except for her hands and her head. That was real.
Yeah.
That's crazy. She's a great actor.
Yeah.
Good at accents, too.
Yeah.
You know, not to talk about Dune 2 on this episode, but I'll save it.
Oh, okay.
I'll cut this out, because my favorite part of Dune 2 is when Florence Pugh says, figure, instead of figure.
Yeah.
And I was like, we couldn't do another take on that
one,
guys.
There were a couple of like her Britishisms that I heard in the few lines she had. It's funny because like it's likely that someone directing the film who is French Canadian, who he himself has an accent, isn't clocking all those.
Right. But I just don't, for something that high budget, I'm sure she had a dialect coach, or that she has a dialect coach that helps her with her American accent in general. if I was directing, I would have everyone's dialect coaches on set at all times being like, tell me when we need to redo a take.
Yeah, right.
This is your entire job, is listen for what they're talking
about.
Well,
you know, it's funny. I suppose we're going to have to cut all of this out and just put it in the Patreon next week.
No,
or something.
I'll keep it in for Dune 2. We'll keep it in.
So I was watching another clip. It was of Villeneuve, Denis Villeneuve, on Colbert. And he was telling the story about how, you know, they basically had to invent the language of the Fremen.
Right.
And that, you know, people got really good at it. And there was like a dialect coach. There was a linguist who helped them invent it. And then a dialect coach on set, like, making sure pronunciations and stuff were, you know,
cool.
In the ballpark. Anyway, he said they had to, like, add a shot or something that, like, complicated things. And, you know, they finally got it. They think they nailed it. It was, like, a perfect shot. And he was, like, ready to, like, wrap it up and move to the next setup. And the dialect coach was like, actually, the pronunciation of such and such wasn't. And he was like, come on, brother. It's a fake language. Or something like that. And then that got a big laugh from the audience. And Colbert was like, so what'd you end up doing? And he was like, we ended up reshooting it. it's so funny to me that he like made the point to be like, it's pretend.
It's made up.
And then was still like, we have to pretend as best as we can.
Yeah, I am a perfectionist. If I hadn't reshot that, I would have stayed awake all night for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's really funny. But then they couldn't clock figure, and they had to say... Yeah, the other thing I noticed for her is just occasionally her R's or R's were very pronounced, which is the classic British actor doing an American accent where they're like, father.
Yeah, like overcorrecting.
Where it's like, you don't have to say it that hard, guys. You can just like say an R noise. Say an R noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. It's not that hard. Not that hard.
So let's see. So far, we've talked about
Dune 2.
And what was the thing that we went on? Oh, 2006?
In the meta narrative of this movie,
just,
as
like,
opposed
to
the actual narrative of this movie.
Not talk about this movie.
Well, okay. So broad strokes, you've got Sean and Bow Wow, who are the American like kids. You got Han, who takes Sean under his wing because he crashes his car in a race against DK, who is the Drift King, aka also known as Takashi, his real name, who is dating Neela, who's a high schooler, and Takashi's like fucking 30, which is gross. And then from there, it's just kind of like fallout from that. Like, Sean has to become like the driving or like muscle for Han to go get his money sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or like he's like in the driving, like he's in the delivery business, basically. He has to drive for Han.
Yeah.
To like repay him back.
Oh, one thing I thought was cool was cops don't even bother chasing you if you're going faster than a certain speed because their cars can't.
Yeah, that was funny, especially because the Japanese cops...
I'm beginning to like this country even more all the time.
Even more. Also, God, Sean's accent in this is too much. It's like fucking Jodie Foster in like Signs of the Lambs, where it's like, I'm really, really fucking Southern.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
calm down a little bit. Just like maybe soften it just a tad bit.
At one point, one of the guys like beats the shit out of Bow Wow and shouts as loud as he can, that's for selling me a broken iPod. But
sure,
this
takes
place
in the future.
In the future.
They date this movie so hardcore with the cell phones and the fact that he has an iPod. And then they're like, no. It takes place after the events of Fast and the Furious 7, which... Or sorry, 6. No, wait.
Yeah,
hold
6
on.
Is the one that the last one before
yes,
this takes
Fast
place.
And Furious 6 takes place in 2013.
Yeah.
So supposedly Tokyo Drift takes place after 2013, which no it doesn't
because
I saw their cell phones.
I know. That's a very very silly idea.
It's so weird that they really go out of their way on the Wikipedia. And like where is it's just a meta thing because there is nowhere in the narrative itself that matters.
Right.
Although maybe it will matter later. Maybe because I actually did look it up and Han's character is in these other movies.
Well, yeah. So when I was watching it, I was like Googling a lot of the actors or, you know, on IMDb or whatever. And I was like, oh, this guy's in a bunch of them. That's cool. I like this guy. And then I saw him fucking explode.
Yeah, I know.
In a fiery car crash. And so I was like, what?
Yeah, how does he come back? And then and then Vin Diesel treats him like he's dead. Lady's like, Han was family.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why it's a sequel, is because we see in the next three movies Han being a part of like the crew or whatever.
Sure.
But I guess we'll find out when we watch the rest of these. But I like this actor. I like that he's coming back. He was good.
Yeah. But hey, that's pretty Star Wars. A,
yeah,
prequels,
sure.
And B, Han dies.
Yes. And also weirdly, like, meta stuff happening outside of the narrative that you have to like somehow figure out.
Weird titles.
Yeah.
And you have to like know all of them.
And then also,
like, well, so technically
this takes place in 2013, even though it was shot in 2006.
I wrote the "you talking to my girl" trope really fucking sucks.
Oh, it's so annoying.
It goes hand in hand with "the winner gets me." It's like everyone is just like,
yeah,
kind of complicit in this like awful kind of ownership.
Misogyny. Like women in this series so far are literally just a prize to be won.
Yeah.
In general. And they're, and like every movie so far has had the "you're talking to my girl."
Yeah.
And "the winner gets me."
And this
me.
One has it like twice.
Yeah. It's rough. It's really, really annoying to watch. And it's so gross. It just feels gross. And dated, you know. But I don't know if we're going to get any better, but maybe we'll get away from the... I mean, once we get in away from the literal street racing aspect of it and into the, like, heist, you know, like, spy movie parts of these...
Explosions.
Yeah, just everything flying off of, like, cliffs
cars
and stuff.
Cars be flying.
Cars be flying, and we stop worrying so much about women being won.
Yeah, yeah.
In competitions.
Oh, also the race they do on the mountain, the kind of set piece that he wins the day or whatever, too dark.
Oh, very dark.
Couldn't hardly see anything.
No. I want to know, like, okay, here's the thing. It's funny to me that you can drift in Mario Kart N64.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, whenever Sean gets to Japan in 2006.
2013.
Sorry, 2013. A solid, even worse, because the Wii has come out by then. You can drift on the Wii.
Yeah.
You can drift on all these racing games. And he's like, "what's drifting?" And it's like, you're telling me you've never played a racing game?
Yeah.
You can drift in all the racing games. And I want to know, I mean, I'm sure, I wouldn't be surprised if the Japanese actually did invent drifting. But it's funny that like they're pretending like it's this never before seen technology.
Yeah, I think probably the fine line is that like it's integral to how you drive as opposed to like a thing you're able to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah, it was invented in Japan in the 70s.
Yeah.
So like that's why you had racing in video games, is because at that point it was already being used in real racing.
Sure.
So it's just very funny that they present
this like 29-year-old high schooler should know what drifting is. You're right.
Especially if he's so into cars.
Right.
That's his one personality trait, is he likes cars and he carries a wrench around to beat the shit out of people when he's in high school.
Yeah. Is there like a clause that like you have to have a Mustang in a Fast and Furious movie?
Yeah, because they have to do American Muscle.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the difference between American Muscle and the Japanese stuff.
I will say the Mustang is like my favorite car. If I were to have
car,
yeah, like I don't know what I'm talking about, but it has always been a like shape that I like.
Yeah.
So if I were to ever have like stupid money, I'd probably buy a Mustang.
Sure. That's weird and crazy. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a car guy. You're a real muscle head over here.
Nope. Well, I'm not a car Mike's guy. I am a muscle guy, though.
Right, you love huge muscles.
I like American Muscle.
American Muscle.
And
Mike
I'm
has
proud
a poster.
To be an American Muscle.
I'm proud to be an American Muscle. Go listen to the Patreon. Mike
or
has
honestly,
a huge.
Don't.
Oh no! Huge poster behind his wall. Mustang on it. Buxom babe in a bikini.
Yep.
Just like really classic, you know.
It's Mary Lou from Holes.
The donkey
in a bikini.
I can't stop thinking about how hot that Mary Lou would look in a bikini. What are you talking about, Stanley? You just saw a name. You don't know that she's even a person. What a weird thing to say, Stanley.
Oh, Stan.
This isn't the Holes episode. This is the Tokyo Drift episode. Should we go play a game?
We gotta, yeah.
We haven't talked about the movie at all. Or no, we did talk about the movie a little bit.
We talked about it.
But we talked about Star Wars a tad bit. It's got Han in it, which that's a huge one. That's huge. I guess what we have to discover is, once again, we can pull up our list. Is it more or less Star Wars than Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and the Furious?
Right.
Because...
with all the, like, meta shit and, like, the crazy title and, like, the Han and the kind of, like, Yoda training sequence, like, I'm I'm wondering if this does get a higher
Star Wars score. It also feels more futuristic because Tokyo is presented as a more futuristic city.
Right.
It's like neon and like, you know, got like fun lines and everything.
Yeah.
Well, Fast and Furious, we'll discuss at the end, but the Fast and the Furious got a 4.5 total.
Net, yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious got a 5. So is this more than that is the question. And right now I'm leaning towards yes. But we can also fine tune these. We also made the choice that we can change any of our ratings throughout the year if we need to, if that makes more sense.
Yeah, right.
But let's go to the break and let's come back and play again.
Okay.
Whee!
I mean,
yum.
Due to our mutual fear of making concrete decisions, Kevin and Thomas have a new comedy podcast that is 100% segments top to bottom.
Every week, we spin a wheel of random podcast segments, complete absurd challenges, and get into petty squabbles.
We bring on our favorite comedians and guests, and even let you, the audience, decide what happens next to ensure we have as little control as possible.
Check out Oops! All Segments wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it.
And we're fast!
And we're Lucas Black. The actor. He comes back in the later movies too, which is crazy.
Man, I'm kind of psyched to see these later movies that people keep talking about.
They like get wet and wild.
It's like Mary Lou on the hood of my Mustang.
Yeah, wet and wild. Just a wet and wild donkey. So we're going to play an RPG
and
this
week.
And
she is not a high schooler.
No, she's an old ass.
She's an old gray mare.
She's an old ass.
She's an old ass.
She's an old ass. So we're going to play the another RPG. This one is called the Tokyo Drift RPG. Because I realized that Matt? Why did I just call you Matt? That was weird.
No, that's what I am on the podcast now.
Your new RPG character's name is Matt.
Yeah, and just my name.
Yeah, Mike is just Matt now. We're going to do this quickly because we only have, like, I don't know, 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a wet and wild RPG, just like how the movie is wet and wild. Wait, before we move on, I got to say one more time. Where's the ass?
You really don't.
I knew you were going to say that. But this time, Matt, I'm talking about Mary Lou, the donkey from Holes.
She's on the poster.
Look at her. Okay, anyway,
it's a lot of skinny girls.
Yeah, a lot of skinny girls. And like, yeah, models. Like, there's that one scene where they're like, why is everyone so hot? And he's like, because they're models. Because Tokyo is the fashion capital.
Yeah.
And they come here to hang out with criminals. Like, what? And high schoolers. Criminals and high schoolers.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where models hang out. Anyway, we're playing the Tokyo Drift RPG. Matt. Matt, roll for some stats real quick.
That's every a time D20, you play the RPG, right?
Yeah, get a D20 out. Every time we roll, we do the RPG from now on, I'm going to call you Matt.
Okay. 7.
Nice. Okay, that's for how fast you are.
Okay.
So you're not very fast, unfortunately.
Okay.
Now roll for how furious you are.
16.
Oh, pretty furious. So your fast is a 7, you said?
Yeah.
Your furious 16?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now roll for how Tokyo you are.
18.
Wow, you're really Tokyo. You might be a local at this point. Roll for how drift you are.
2.
Now you're bad at drifting, though. This is just like the movie almost.
Yeah, I'm just slamming into shit.
You're just running into shit. You're really into Japanese culture. You're very angry. You're not very fast, and you're bad at drifting.
And everyone's like, Matt!
Matt, stop! Okay, so last week...
But I do have a Zapdos named Helotary, right?
You do have a Zapdos named Helotary. You do have a rival named Butthole.
Uh-huh.
You had 1,500 gold, and you have 26 calories.
But then, wasn't I locked up?
But you're in jail right now. Okay. So, because at the end of the Holes RPG, we found out that you shouldn't be there because you're not a kid. So you had to go to real jail. Now that you're in real jail, we're going to make a couple tweaks to the plot of Tokyo Drift.
You don't say.
Yeah, we're going to make a couple tweaks. And first, an officer comes to you and says, hey, kid, we got an offer. Either you stay in jail forever or you go live with your dad in Tokyo and do community service.
Well, that sounds better to me. I've always wanted to visit Asia. I'll do that, Great. Please.
All right. And then you whoosh.
Can I get all my shit?
Oh, yeah. Here's your 1500 gold. Here's your master ball with Helodry in it. Uh-huh. And here's your 26 calories. Letters floating. I don't know what you're going to do with those, yeah. But you have them.
Does that have a conversion rate to gold?
No.
Because I'll just take it in cash if you're able
let's
to.
See. Well, let's go back to the gym RPG real fast. looks like... So 100 calories is equal to... Okay, wait. 1,000,000 calories is a master ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I said 1,000,000 gold is also a master ball.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like, once again, the conversion ratio, as is everything in this game, is 1-to-1.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead and add 26 gold to your 5,000 gold.
Great. I thought it was 1,500.
Sorry, 1,500. Yes. So you have 1,500, 26 gold.
Love it.
You still don't have a sword, but you have a master ball with a Zapdos named Helodry in there. All right, we do a flying montage over to Tokyo. You see your dad, and he's like, son, no racing. Whatever you do, no racing.
Damn it.
And then he says, here's your room, and it's the smallest room you've ever seen. It's just a closet. And there's a woman eating noodles outside your window.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so first things first, you've got to go
and
do some community... She waves at you, yeah. It's very cute. You have to go do some community service. Let's roll a dice for that. Because you're pretty furious at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to do a great job at the community service. Let's see how well you do.
19.
Oh, really good job.
Channeling my rage.
You're channeling your rage into... Oh, I didn't do the modifiers for your stats. That's fine. It's okay. We just know you. I'll just make them up. So you're channeling your rage at community service. So as you're doing this, someone comes up and says, hey, you kid.
Me? And I'm 33.
Yeah, but you're smallish. I'll call you kid. Listen, I need you to race for me. I'm part of the Yakuza.
Oh, shit. My dad says no racing.
I need a white boy to race for me so that I won't get in trouble from the cops.
Well, you got yourself a white boy. My name's Matt.
Great. My name is Han.
Hi, Han.
Oh, from the movie. Get in.
From the movie.
Get in.
Okay, I get into Han's car.
Do you know how to drift?
Drift?
Check it out. It's like this.
And then he has a training model. What's that?
All right. You've got a negative like 5 to drifting. So go ahead and roll and see if you can succeed in this first race. It's a drifting race. Go ahead and roll. You have a minus 5.
I rolled an 18. So 13.
Okay. So you make your way through. You don't win, but you don't crash the car. So that's good.
Great.
Han says, that was pretty good. I think you could take on DK.
Donkey Kong?
Yes.
Oh, he's like, no.
He's like, Donkey Kong kidnapped a princess.
Oh, shit.
And he's throwing a bunch of barrels down at us. I need you to race to the top of the mountain, drifting the whole way, and save that princess.
Oh, man.
Do you think you can handle that?
I will probably do a bad job, but I'm going to try.
Are you fast enough? Are you furious enough?
Yes.
Are you Tokyo enough?
Oh boy, am I.
Are you
could call me Mount Fuji.
I thought your name was Matt.
Matt Fuji.
Very Japanese.
Is Mount Fuji well, Japan's quite small, I suppose.
It's small. Actually, you know what's crazy? Japan's fucking huge.
Well, yes, I guess that's right.
Do you know how big Japan is? Have you ever put Japan over a map of the United States?
I haven't. Although I did put a picture of my teeth over a picture of my teeth corrected because I'm going to get Invisalign for my bottom teeth. And I turned on and off the bad layer to show the movement like a little flip book.
That's fun.
So is that what you meant?
That's exactly what I meant. Yeah, I'm about to show you how big fucking Japan is. Everyone do this. Google Japan over the map of the United States because it is shocking how large Japan is with our American sensibility, because we don't think about how big Japan
is. It's like the entire East Coast.
The entire Eastern Seaboard is the size of Japan. So Japan is fucking huge, but we don't think of it as being huge because the map makes it look like small little islands.
Right.
But it's actually really big islands.
Yeah.
That, like, the length of which are as long as the Eastern Seaboard. So that's a fun fact for everybody. Anyway, that's what we're doing. We have to go fight DK. All right. You pull up to the starting line. You look to your left. Who is it but Butthall?
Oh, shit.
Your rival.
This guy.
He looks over and he says,
I can't
hey,
shake him.
You're trying to race and save the princess too?
Yeah.
He's like, looks like we are once again aligned with the same goal.
Oh. So far, my rival and I tend to be good collaborators.
Yeah, so far, we're basically just friends.
You friends with Han?
Yeah, you know Han? Han's like family.
Yeah, he's like family to me, too.
Nice. Okay, cool.
By the way, I'm Matt.
Oh, that's your name?
Yeah.
I never knew you had a name.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever said it. I'm Butthall.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's a weird name. Not very common. Not very Japanese. All right, let's roll. Okay, you're going to drive up the mountain. You look up and you see a giant monkey throwing barrels down the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Roll for fast. It's a -5.
I rolled a 3.
Negative. Oh, wait, sorry. Your fast is 7, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's -3. So you rolled a 3, you got a 0. Uh-huh. You immediately crash. Immediately crash. Butthall sips around, grabs you from the wreckage, pulls you into his car.
Oh.
Says, hey, Matt, I'm not letting you down like that. Come on. And he drives up. Let's just roll for him.
So I'm just riding shotgun now.
You're just riding shotgun now. I dropped my dice on the ground. Oh, no. What did I get? I can't see. This dice is too slippery. He got an 18. Not bad.
Woo!
So he makes his way up the mountain. And then you guys... Now, roll a furious check to fight Donkey Kong.
Yes, yes. An 18.
Nice. You punch Donkey Kong right in the face.
Shit.
Over and over again. And he goes, what's the sound he makes in the N64? He's like,
I think it's
something like that.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I did this. I love it. Charlie, can you come do your Toad impression?
No!
Please?
For free?
You're not going to do it for the podcast?
You want me to do it for free?
Yeah, why don't you do it for Mike? I'll cut
it
out.
Did you talk about the mouse yet?
Oh, we forgot to talk about the mouse. Sorry. We'll talk about it in a second. After when we're wrapping up with the rest of our notes.
Muad'Dib?
Okay.
Do it for Mike and then
what do I say?
Just go, I'm Toad! I am Toad!
Oh, I couldn't hear it.
You can't hear it?
No, Zoom, I think, is like, that's
oh, wait,
too
on.
High.
Let me turn it off. Try now.
Okay, that time I heard it.
It makes me laugh a lot. Hey, babe, can I leave that in the podcast?
I'll have Peach!
So that's what Donkey Kong says after I punch him repeatedly?
Yeah, that's what Donkey Kong says. Yeah. Hi, Red.
Babe, you didn't talk to him about how Lil Bow Wow looked right at the camera?
I haven't talked about it yet. Do you want to tell everybody?
Yeah.
Charlie has something to say.
Okay, so there's one part, Mike, when we're,
Here.
When we're watching, and Lil Bow Wow, like, goes on an elevator to go, like, watch the rest of the race, you
uh-huh,
know?
Uh-huh.
And all these hot chicks are standing around him.
Yeah.
And he's looking out the elevator, and then he looks right at the camera... And winks and goes like this.
Did you clock that?
Yes. That's like sounding familiar now that you say it.
It was so, I was like, did he just break the fourth wall?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, unless it's from a different point of view, like maybe we are a mouse.
Yeah. Then we started making a joke where actually it was a mouse that was watching a little bow out.
And then I had to be like,
and he was just like, what's up, little mouse?
He's like,
yeah, he's, you get it. You
good
get
job.
It. Little Bow was like, hey, mouse.
He's like, hey, check out all these chicks. And he's like, he
the mouse. The mouse is going like,
awooga.
Awooga. Awooga. Anyway, that's that. We kept joking about the mouse that was watching all the action for the entire movie. He's always just like, looking up, like, good job, guys.
I thought when you said the mouse that you were talking about the little Muad'Dib.
Kangaroo mouse? The Muad'Dib? No, we gotta say that for the Dune episode.
Cute little Muad'Dib.
You know what's funny is that, like, I like how in Dune, Mahdi is the name of the Messiah and Muad'Dib is the name of the mouse. Mm. I'm like, that's just a crazy coincidence.
Prophecies, man. They're great.
Prophecies. They're great. Love a prophecy. But anyway, so where we were in the RPG. Oh, you punch DK in the face. He gets knocked out. Princess Peach is there. It is Princess Peach. The real Princess Peach.
Uh-huh. And is she going like, I'm gonna win.
She's like, I'm gonna win. Let's go. Everyone's voices are all mixed up.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm gonna win. Matt, thank you for saving me. Here's Here's 1,000 gold.
Ooh.
Also, here's my number.
Oh, so ooh. Wait. I won the race, so I won her?
No. You won her the option to call her.
Oh, okay.
That was funny in the movie when Han is like, you know why I drift? And he's like, he does a bunch of circles around two hot babes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they write down their number to give to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the reason you drift? It's just to pick up chicks? That's not a good reason, dude.
He's like the Yoda, like, mystical teacher character. And he's like, do you know why I do this?
To pick up babes.
To pick up babes.
It's really funny. All right, you got 1,000 extra gold.
So
and you
now
got
I have 2526 gold,
uh-huh.
The phone number of a princess who talks like Wario, uh-huh. And a uh-huh. Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to write that down. That's the end of the Tokyo Drift RPG.
Great.
We actually did utilize your rolls this time. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
How much gold did you have? 26?
I had 1526, and now I have 2526.
2526 gold. Princess Peach's number. Okay, that's good. We'll see where that goes. That might come up later. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some romance at this RPG.
Yeah.
Oh,
or maybe it's a secret code that unlocks something.
Maybe you're a sleeper agent. And if you read the number out loud, all of a sudden you become the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up.
I have nothing else about the movie.
Me
but
either.
I think, you know, we started sort of exploring, like, does this feel more Star Wars than
yes, the let's
Fast
explore that.
Or than Too Fast, Too Furious?
Was it? Oh, Red, that's gross. Red just farted in here and it smells terrible.
Ew.
Now. Ew. Red.
I would say from a sort of biome standpoint, there is more Star Wars that takes place in big, flashy city than there is that takes place in, like, Miami Beach.
Yeah, sure. Very Coruscant,
yeah.
Tokyo. The whole city is one big city.
The whole city is one big city.
You know, the classic quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that you got the one biome of it all because it's, like, all one big city. It's very futuristic feeling.
Yeah.
I would say it feels more Star Wars to me than both of the previous entries.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Oh, we also need to say they didn't disappoint. There still was one instance of Nos.
Yes, they did
that
have
felt
some
like
Nos
a contractual
there.
Obligation.
Yeah, it was like the manufacturers of Nos were like, please, you have to keep this movie. And they're like, all right, fine. This ain't no 10-second race.
Yeah, right.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
That didn't make any sense when he said that. I was like, what?
That really reminds me of a prequels thing, which is when Palpatine, when somebody says something, a trial in front of the Senate, and he goes, I am the Senate. And then
right.
Mace Windu goes, not yet. What?
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, so I was speaking metaphorically, but why do you think that there's some kind of time piece of this?
Right, you think I'm going to actually become hundreds and hundreds of people?
Like how in...
A governing body?
From what I've heard in the Dune stories, you can become a big tube out in outer space. Is that true?
Yeah. I don't know.
Those,
man.
Like, big tubes they use to, like, travel at light speed or whatever?
Oh, the what are they called? The navigators.
Isn't
or something
that,
like
that like guys?
Yeah, I think they're just guys that ate a lot of spice.
And they became like big tubes the size of a skyscraper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe I'm misinformed. I think I heard somewhere that, like, if you eat enough spice, you become one of those giant fucking tubes. And I just believed it.
It's entirely possible that that is true, because the Dune lore is very dense and heavy.
Yeah.
And there's so many little details that I probably am not aware of because I haven't read the book in a while. And I only saw the movie recently, and that does not happen in the movie. So it's entirely possible that that is true. I do not know. Are you Googling giant tube in Dune now?
Yeah, big tubes in Dune that let you travel.
Big tubes space. In Dune.
Highliners?
Or hayliners?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they dudes?
No, they just guide the
right,
spice
the guild
users.
The guild. I think you're thinking of the guild navigators.
Yeah, that they guide the ships.
Yes, the guild navigators are like can see through time and space, yeah. And that's how they are able to navigate like in across large distances.
It's funny
because they eat so much spice.
In the High Republic books, the first one in particular, I think, or maybe was it the second one? I only read like one and a half of those, and they were cool, but
mm-hmm.
There is like a family, there's like a couple of people who can kind of like see hyperspace routes,
mm-hmm.
and they become sort of like a sought after family, and it's like, oh wow, Star Wars be stealing from Dune even like recently.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Anyway, we're not talking about Dune or Star Wars. Wait, no, we always are talking about Star Wars.
We're talking about Star Wars. I found out recently that the Guild Navigators basically got retconned in the books to look like they do in the David Lynch movie because apparently Frank Herbert saw them and was like, that fucking rules. I want them to look like that. That's really cool.
That's funny.
Because that was entirely a David Lynch. Have you seen them, what they look like in that movie?
I haven't.
Let me just pull up them. They're nasty. They're gnarly, like, creature, you know, creature features stuff in the movie. 1984 Guild Navigators. They're like in a tank and they're all nasty looking. I don't know if you can see this very well, but here we go. They're like giant, there's a giant brain things and the rest of their limbs are all atrophied. And then Frank Herbert was like, yeah, that's what they look like.
Gross.
Why is it? Okay, that's not helpful. I'm gonna say
the
resolution's really low, but yeah, they're like nasty little brain guys.
Yeah, gross.
So gross. Anyway, let's fucking wrap this
up. Go to bed.
It's more Star Wars than the last two. So the last two got a 4.5 and a 5.
So.
Do we need to lower those to set this at a bar, or is it a little higher than a 5?
I think it might be a little higher than a 5. Oh, we didn't even talk about the music that it had, but Ba with the Ba, isn't it?
Yeah, Ba with the Ba. Yes.
Which, that's pretty
bang,
John Williams.
Bang, dicky, dicky. Very John Williams. Yeah, there were some real bangers in this. And like weird 2006 bangers where you're like the whistling song.
Yes.
That one was so funny.
And wait, there was that other one. Oh, now I can't place the hook. Hang on. Let me see if I can.
The Tokyo Drift song?
No. My Spotify's not going to. Here, let me just do it on my phone.
Just hum to Spotify and see if it can know.
Well, it. I need to hear it. That's the problem. Oh, yeah.
What is it? I can't hear it.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I don't have the music thing on. It's that one that's like... Dunk, 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 dunk,
dunk, dunk, dunk, dunk. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that one's cool. Okay, 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 okay.
Anyway.
Let's see, unit of measures. My unit of measure is going to be vending machines. Because there's a lot of them in Tokyo.
Oh.
And they're always like in the establishing shots. They're like, look at all these vending machines with food in them and stuff.
And mine's gonna be shocking fireball explosions of a car.
Yeah, totally, totally. Okay, I think based on everything else and based on our last two ratings, I think I'm gonna give it a solid 5.
Yeah. And let's see, I said that Too Fast, Too Furious was 5.5. I don't feel this is a 6.
Yeah, maybe I'll go, no, yeah, I'll stick with 5. I'll stick with 5.
And maybe I'll say like 5.75, because this does not feel like a 6.
Yeah, okay, I like that. We're going to get real granular with these. I can feel it already.
So that is what, 5.375 net?
Yeah.
And where do you put this in your favorites?
Oh, yeah, we forgot to do that. It's definitely last.
Yeah, me too. I'm right now at 1, 2, 3, and so are you.
Yeah, they are all... Yes, exactly.
Well...
5 points.
All right, well, there we have it, folks. It is... I gotta write this down for number 3 as my third favorite. Okay. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at House Star Wars on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com, because that's what this is. We had a listener who followed our instructions to the T.
Yes, and remind me what the instructions were.
This is for the vacation episode, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Legendary, the subject line was legendary bird Pokemon nickname. The body of the email just says Articuno, comma, Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme, all one word. from Justin, parentheses, you can say my name.
thank you, Justin, really, and thank you, Taco Bell. What was it? Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme?
Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme, yeah. So thank you to Justin for following our instructions so perfectly.
And sorry, that's the name of an Articuno.
Of an Articuno,
Not a Darticuon, an Articuno.
What was the email prompt that I said earlier in the episode? I can't remember it now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. What was it? Oh, it was class favorite. Did you have... Yes. Okay, here's the email prompt for this week. In high school, did you have a competition for class favorite? And was it like a voted on thing? Blah, blah, blah. I think maybe for this one, we opened up the prompt and said you can explain it if you want.
Ah, yes.
Yes or no is the obvious answer, but explain yourself or give me some context. You know, you can branch out a little bit if you want for this one.
Yeah.
And once again, that email is agoodpodcast@gmail.com. Include your name and if you care, if we say your name on the podcast.
Yeah. Class favorite.
Class favorite. So weird.
And if you want more of us on the internet, we've got a Patreon. You can support us over there for $5 a month. You get a weekly bonus episode. There's film commentaries of Star Wars movies, other movies, improv, RPGs, a Discord server. And like I said, all of that is available at patreon.com/howstarwarsisit for $5 a month.
Yes. And that's everything. So
Anarchy.
Anarchy is still rolling. I don't know if we have any shows together soon, but... come see us on Thursdays and email us or message us wherever. Follow Anarchy Music Improv on Instagram. It's a good follow. And you'll see when the shows are. So, sandwiches to Star Wars. It's about time for to be bye-bye. So, like we always say, we love you.
And may the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Do, 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 do